grew up in the same family, same parents, same kind of training, same school, same church. But yet, when you and I, as young people, as we grow up in that kind of setting, that kind of atmosphere, we graduate from high school, one goes on to serve the Lord, and one goes the opposite direction. How does that happen? And how does that work itself out in our hearts and in our life? And this passage, I think, is very helpful in pointing that out for us. First of all, we need to note this whole process in verse 24, the first phrase, by faith, Moses. This type, well, the process that we see Moses walking through in his heart and life has to be rooted in the eye of faith that has its focus on God, what He wants for our heart and life, walking by faith, not living our lives for what we can see, but looking to Him to guide and direct as He sees fit in our hearts and our lives. But what's the first thing that leads to, the first thing that we all see in each other's hearts and lives? Look at verse 24 again. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So what is this? This is the outward decision, right, that everybody sees. So this was the obvious part of this process that we all see in each other's lives, the outward decisions that we make. And we see, first of all, obviously Moses, as we look at God's plan for his life, what God wanted him to do, Moses made the right outward decision. Moses took the step that God was calling him to make. And with this step may not, from the human side of things, been the easiest step for Moses. Why was that? Because Moses was refusing a prestigious life. Egypt was the superpower of that day and that time. And perhaps, again, we don't know this for sure, but historians tell us Moses perhaps could have been in line to be the next leader of Egypt, or one of the key people in the leadership of Egypt. He could have very easily made the wrong decision. That would have been the path of least resistance, no doubt, for Moses. That would have been the easy thing. He had the red carpet rolled out for him, the wealth of the world at his fingertips. From the human perspective, he would have had nothing to worry about. But from God's perspective, this was the right decision. But you know, I'm sure there were those around Moses that knew him. Perhaps even many of the Israelites. Moses, what are you doing? You're an Israelite and you get a far different situation than we do, and you're going to come and join us? What? What is it that brings a person to make that kind of decision in their heart and in their life? And the question is this then, what was that outward decision? What we're asking is, what was that outward decision based on? And that's the question we all have as we watch other people make decisions. What was it based on? Well, the next phrase here in verse 25 gives us what that outward decision was based on. Look at verse 25. It says this, Moses choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And what we see second of all tonight is this. First of all, Moses made the right outward decision. But second of all, we see this. The right choice results in the right outward decision. Your outward decision is based on, as you're looking at life, as you have choices before you, as you're making those choices on the inside, that's exactly what your outward decision is based on. Notice that this choice, if we're going to do what God wants us to do, isn't necessarily always the path of least resistance. How do we know that? Look at it, verse 25. Moses choosing rather to do what? Suffer affliction with the people of God than to what? Enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses chose to take that path to suffer with God's people, but notice he says, choosing rather to suffer affliction, how? With the people of God. And a very helpful, as we have these choices to make in life, and you come to a crossroads, so to speak, wherever that might be for you in life, or something that you know is coming your way, As we mentioned, some of those possibilities in the introduction of things in life, times, points of maturity where we have to make some kind of decision. And those thoughts, sometimes when we know we're going to have to make that difficult choice. And Moses realized, look, even though this was going to be a difficult path, he was not alone. He was going to suffer with the people of God. There are other people of God around us, around you all the time, that God has called to the same thing He's calling you to. To make that choice sometimes that from the human side of things doesn't seem to make sense. But perhaps even more interesting, this choice, the last phrase, he chose to suffer with God's people then to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. This choice is not a self-satisfying choice that necessarily will bring human happiness. But I want us to think about this. This is very interesting that for Moses, what God calls for Moses staying in Egypt would have been for him enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, why is that? To me, that's interesting because do we know anyone else in Scripture that was called to minister and serve in that setting as God's will for his life? Joseph, right? So think about, as Moses has this opportunity, and no doubt Moses knew who Joseph was, right? As we go through this, the history and the background of how God's people got into Egypt in the first place, and Joseph being instrumental in that, God being right where He wanted him at that time in history. So would there have been, as Moses was thinking about this, would there have been anything necessarily wrong with him staying in the palace there in Egypt? Intrinsically, was there something wrong with that? No. Because God called Joseph there, and Joseph lived a pure life in the midst of the circumstances and the society that he found himself in. You see how it could have been very easy for Moses to have rationalized why, well, God can use me here in this way. You see, it's not that living in the palace was the bad thing. But it's the fact that for Moses, God had not called him to stay in the palace. The palace was not God's will for him. You know, I think that's a very helpful point of application for us. We individually, in our relationship with God, as we come to those points in our hearts and lives where we have to make decisions, you must determine God's will for you, regardless of what? What everybody else is doing around you. So what does this mean? This means that maybe something that's okay for everybody else, God might not want for your life. But too oftentimes, as we get in our Christian setting, our Christian at well, and maybe God begins to touch our heart and life about a step He wants us to take. Well, everybody else is doing it. And that's exactly what we have going on here. Moses could have very easily made that argument in his heart and life. To stay in Egypt. It was God's will for Joseph, after all. What's the big deal for me? Everybody else is doing it. You see, when we come to God and what He wants for our hearts and lives, we need not just to make the decision that we can get away with and still be accepted in our Christian culture and our Christian church. Because we rationalize, well, there's nothing that's technically wrong with this choice. You see, it's more about what does God want specifically for me in my life. That's the important thing. That's the big thing. And sometimes God calls us to make decisions to do things that go against what would be humanly satisfying. You see, Moses, and this is what is very interesting in this, he was not refusing something that was wrong in and of itself. But yet, if he did not do God's will for him, which was refusing that life, then he would. For Moses to stay in Egypt, and this is what God calls it here, for him, for Moses, God says that would have been enjoying the pleasures of what? Sin. The life that was okay for Joseph was not okay for Moses. Very interesting. And Moses walked with God in such a way that as he had that choice to make, he had the maturity to see what God wanted him to do in spite of what was fine for somebody else. So the next question is then, why would anyone make this kind of choice? What is it in our hearts and lives that would bring us to a point where we, in that type of position, where God was calling me to do something, to refuse something that there's not technically anything wrong with, that seems to be, from the human side of things, the better choice, what would lead me to refuse that and follow what I believe God has called me to do? Why would anyone make this kind of choice, is the next question. And we see that the first phrase, the answer to that, is in verse 26. The first phrase, it says about Moses, he was esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. And this word esteeming, obviously not a word we use in our English language anymore as much. What does that mean? The idea of esteem has to do with considering or thinking, our thinking process, what's going on in our thoughts, in our mind. So Moses, as he thought about this, he considered the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures in Egypt. And the third thing we see tonight is this. Why would someone make this kind of choice? Because of this. Right thinking results in right choices. Right thinking results in right choices. The right choice starts with the proper evaluation or thinking. As you look at things and evaluate in your mind, as you have choices and decisions to make, what's your thought process? And it's the right kind of thinking that will result in the right choice. What we're talking about here is the ability to discern what is right in our minds that leads us to that right choice that affects the outward decisions that we make in our hearts and our lives. And this kind of evaluation, this kind of thinking like Moses had, sees the eternal and accepts it. Look at it. What did he choose? What did he esteem? How did he think about this? He considered the reproach of Christ to be what? Better than the treasures in Egypt. Not just better, but he refers to it, the reproach of Christ, to be greater riches. In Moses' mind, it was far better. And another helpful point of application, perhaps in our hearts and lives, and this can be an indication to us that we're not quite where we should be in our thinking process. A lot of times we can fall into our habit and routine. Well, I know what the right thing is to do, so I'm going to go ahead and do it. After all, because if I don't, I'll hear about it from mom and dad, from the pastor, from my teachers, from my boss, whatever. And if I just do what I'm supposed to do, that'll just make life a little more smooth. That wasn't Moses' perspective. He didn't do it just because he had to, just because, well, this is the right thing to do. Moses, as he... Again, this is him as he thought about it in his mind. And you ask yourself this question, as you have decisions and choices like this to make in your heart and your mind, Moses said he saw what God wanted him to do as greater riches than anything he could have had in Egypt. The wealth of the world at his fingertips. As he had a choice to make, that maybe didn't seem to make total sense. No, as he really thought about it in the depths of his heart and mind, where no one else could go, in his thoughts, he really saw it as that which was greater, far better than anything else he could have. Is that how you view God's plan for your life, how He wants us to live? I sense from Moses a passion, a heart, a desire for what God wanted for his heart and life. And no doubt as we follow Moses from this point on, he had his ups and his downs. But when he came to that point, that crisis point, he made that decision that put him on a track to spend his years for God. And it's because he saw in his mind, as he evaluated, as he considered, he saw what God wanted for his life far better than anything else. What about you in your life? Are you able to see the difference in your life between living and thinking for the temporal life or for that which is eternal? It makes a huge difference in the way you think about things. What's more important to us? And so we ask ourselves now, why would anyone think this way? I mean, Moses was far, but he wasn't just doing it because he had to, just because it was right. I mean, he saw it as something, living God's way, doing what God wanted him to do. Even though it was going to be a difficult path, he saw it as something far better than anything else he could do. Why would anyone think that way? And the last aspect we see here at the end of verse 26 is the foundation of it all. Okay, as we look at this last phrase of verse 26, it's the foundation that affected how he thought, the choices he made, and then the outward decision that everybody saw. Look at the last phrase of verse 26. And it gives us the foundational reason why Moses lived life this way. It says, "For he had respect unto the recompense of reward." And last, fourth, and finally, what we've got to do in our hearts and lives, we've got to embrace the eternal perspective as the foundation of our hearts and lives. The eye of faith sees God and who and what He is. You see, there's a reward day coming. He had respect unto the recompense of reward. And he had respect to that. He was living for that day when he would stand before his God. And the idea here of this word respect says, "For he had respect unto the recompense of reward." What does that mean? This idea of respect, it means to keep one's eye on or to give one's attention to. And again, an illustration, not a perfect illustration of this, but perhaps somewhat helpful in what this word means. My wife and I, we took our honeymoon to Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And they've got, if you've ever been to any of these areas, they've got these tourist trap areas in downtown Gatlinburg. They've got all of that there for you. Funnel cakes, pizza shops, you know. Go in with your family and dress up in a Western style, get your picture taken, all this fun and crazy stuff. And they had, one of the days we were walking down there, there was one of those guys sitting outside of one of the shops with his little board set up. You would sit down there, and he would take your face or whoever was sitting there with you and make like a cartoon caricature out of your face. And you see those, there's those different places all over the place. And he was sitting, I mean, he's right on the sidewalk. People walking by just left and right. And as he was sitting there doing his artwork, people were stopping, looking over his shoulder. It was almost, amidst the hustle and bustle, for him, it was almost like there was nothing else going on. He could have been in a quiet room somewhere, is what it looked like. Why was that? Because there was something that was totally, that had totally taken his attention. He was totally focused. And that's the idea of this word here when we look at the end of verse 26, that Moses had respect under the recompense of reward. He was intently focused on his God and what God was going to say about his life. You see, the eye of faith sees the eternal reward day. But in contrast to that, you've got the eye of faith, and that's the foundational focus. What's the other option? The eye of self and what I want that only sees what? today. And when you look at those two things as your foundation, those two things as a foundation lead to two different ways of thinking, two different types of choices, two different types of outward decisions. And that's exactly how two people, again, let's go back to our opening of this phrase, it was you and I. If we had grown up in the same same home, same parents, same influences, same everything, that's how that can happen. And grow up and go two different directions. Because the foundational focus, what's going on at the root of our hearts and lives, that's what determines how we think, the choices we make, and the outward decision that everybody sees. It's humanism that teaches us our environment controls how we turn out. But it's God that teaches us it's a changed life totally from the inside out that changes us and how we live. How are we living today? You see, this difference between living for self and living for God will ultimately determine the choices you make. Your thinking, choices, and decisions are either based off of what your flesh wants or off of what eternity holds for us in our hearts and our lives. So just some thoughts of application for us tonight. Ask yourself this question: what is it that drives everything you do, every choice you make, what you think about in your heart and your life? At the very root of it, what is it? And again, I think it's on the human side of things, we can very easily, even within a day, go back and forth on this. Choices and decisions we make. Am I living for myself or am I living for God? What motivates what you do? Perhaps we let other things crowd out what God wants through things like this. Sometimes we do things just for fun. Who doesn't like to have fun after all? There's nothing wrong with having fun. But again, if having fun becomes more important than what God wants for us, then there's a problem. Well, why did I do that? Well, that's what feels good for me. That's my comfort zone, right? Why do we do what's right? Sometimes, again, especially young people, we deal with this. I can remember this growing up. Well, we do what's right. Why? Because we don't want to get in trouble, right? Who likes to get in trouble? Or perhaps sometimes we do the right thing because of who's around. And again, not that these things can be helpful motivations. But those motivations aren't motivations that last. They're secondary to what the primary focus of our heart and life that will keep us exactly where we need to be. And if we let these other things, other reasons, other circumstances of life drive why we do what we do, we can very easily get off the right track and stray from what God wants in our hearts and our lives. You see, the intense focus of your life should be looking beyond to the invisible reward. And why is that so difficult? We haven't been there yet. We can't quite. We see through a glass darkly. We know what we've been told. We believe. We live our life by the book. But it's hard to live for something sometimes that you can't see. But this represents the essence of faith. Remember the first phrase of verse 24? This whole process was by what? By faith. The essence of faith is looking for and focusing on something that what? Has never literally been seen with my very own physical eyes, right? But this is exactly how we will be able in our hearts and lives to live the life that God wants us to live, accomplish what He wants us to accomplish. It's when we allow that eye of faith to live for that unseen reward, to live for eternity that lasts forever. Our God that created us and made us, who wants to bring honor and glory to Himself through our lives, through everything that we do, and as 1 Corinthians 10:31, down to even the simple things of eating and drinking. And it's as we in our hearts and lives allow God to be at the center and live for that day when we'll see Him and hear what living for the day when we hear what He has to say about our hearts and our lives. That's what makes all the difference. So where are you at tonight? Why do you make the decisions you make? Why do you make the choices that you make? Why do you think the way that you do? Are you living for the eternal and focusing on God? Or are you living for the temporal and focusing on yourself? And the answer to those two questions, living for the eternal and God and what He wants, or living for the temporal and myself and what I want, that's what puts us on two different paths for how we think, the choices we make, and the outward decision that everyone sees. Let's pray. Dear Father, we do thank You for Your great goodness to us and Your work in our hearts and lives and the helpful truth of this passage that can help guide and direct us as we seek Your will and Your guidance for our hearts and lives. Would we allow You to be the central focus of our hearts and lives and see You bring honor and glory to Yourself? In Jesus' name, amen.
Let me ask us to stand to our feet if you would. Heads bowed and eyes closed. And we're going to have a time of invitation here and just an opportunity if God has prompted you about something. Maybe He's just pricked your heart about what is your foundational focus. How have you been thinking? Where really are your priorities? What are they rooted in? Where's your attention drawn?